What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev and Hounds defender Willie Hunt. Willie's going to chat with us for a bit before Josh and Sean join us in a second segment to preview our upcoming Keystone Derby match against Harrisburg City Islanders. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is one of the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to Kerr.
So, listeners know that we're big fans of Willie Hunt, and we've been trying to get him on the show since the beginning of the season, so we're thrilled that our schedules have finally aligned. Willie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
So, a little backstory here for listeners. We really need to take a moment and thank Willie personally. Most people don't know that when we started the podcast, it was really you, Willie, who put us in contact with the right people at the Hounds so that we could do these types of interviews in the first place. So, although you may not have known it, you've been a huge part of this show from the start. So, you know, thank you again for making that initial connection.
Yeah, no problem. No problem, guys.
So, kind of starting off, what we've done in previous interviews is kind of remind us fans that you players are actual human beings that have real lives off the pitch and all this other stuff. So, just to kind of tap into that, you know, could you maybe tell us a story about how, you know, how you got into soccer in the first place and how you kind of grew into being a pro at the Riverhounds?
Yeah, it's actually kind of a funny story in my family growing up. Grew up in South Carolina, so there wasn't much soccer being played down there. My dad had a basketball that we kind of played around with. I was around four, and he said he would kept throwing it to me, but I kept dropping it to the ground and just kicking it back to him. And I was just running around the yard, kicking the ball around. And he said he saw a sheet somewhere for a sign up for soccer, and I think the rest was just kind of history.
Did you always want to play defensively? I don't know. It seems like me and Mike both played soccer growing up, and I don't think any kid wants to play like defense. I think everyone wants to score goals. What was it for your case?
That is pretty accurate. I think growing up, I always played central midfield and club, and throughout most of my college, and later on in college is kind of when I switched more defensively and dropping into the defensive mid. And as I kind of gradually played PDL and professionally, I kept going, you know, further back and back, and honed in on the defensive pairing back there.
Yeah, you're doing a great job holding it down. And obviously, there's been a lot of changes with the team so far this season, but the one constant has really been you. You know, you've played in every game so far, lead the team in minutes, but recently moved from center back to right back. And so what have some of the challenges been like, you know, adjusting to new defensive pairings and all of that?
Well, I think one of the biggest things was the fitness level. The outside backs, obviously, is a different kind of fitness. So it's a lot more up and down fitness, where a center back, it's a lot more sprinting and pointing balls. But something that I've played throughout my pro career at outside back as well, so it wasn't, you know, too difficult moving to the outside left or right and playing and leaving the center.
In terms of training, is there something different that you're doing at practice just to get ready to play outside back, or is it pretty much the same week in and week out?
Well, yeah, Brant had talked to me about the possibility of playing outside back, and I think I'm more of a defensive-minded player, so I think the idea was just kind of put defenses out there and try to defend first and then worry about going forward secondly. But and then that week, I just kind of jumped in at right back in most of our drills. But again, like it wasn't too much, you know, different for me jumping out there.
If you had your choice of center back or right back, which do you prefer?
I would prefer center back. I tend to think that I'm more effective in that position. But it's funny, you know, being 5'10", it's not always, I guess, ideal. Whereas new coaches maybe kind of look at me and my size and maybe, you know, second guess things before seeing me play. But it, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you and Sergio have been just dominant at the center of defense. So going along the kind of theme of rotation, there's also been a lot of goalie rotation happening, especially with Coach Brent coming in.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, kind of, how does that affect the kind of back line as one cohesive unit when you have kind of a new goalie behind you every other game?
I'm a fan of, you know, there being a clear number one, but and I think that's good for them as well, you know, to get a rhythm and be consistent in there. But also, you know, I understand Brandt coming in wasn't too familiar with Hunt or Mal. So I think he's trying to, you know, figure them out and, you know, what he wants to do moving forward, you know, but both of them are good keepers. So it's a competition right now, but, you know, I would feel comfortable with either of them in there.
Yeah, and I would, of course, not ever make you forced to choose which one you prefer to play with. But at the same time, what are some kind of what are some goalie attributes that you as a center back appreciate having behind you? I mean, do you like maybe a goalkeeper that's a bit more vocal, or, you know, one that kind of lets you take care of the majority of things, or how does that kind of play in your mind?
I think everybody's different. For me, a keeper that stays on his line, you know, makes the save he's supposed to make, and kind of not, I guess, trying to be a hero, I would say. And a lot of communication coming from, you know, they can see everything back there, and us as center backs, you know, it's really important to hear their voice and sliding left and right and where everybody's at, and keeping everybody in front of us organized as well.
And, you know, obviously the season hasn't started off the way I think that anybody had really hoped. And, you know, a lot of people in the media have blamed the defense, you know, for some of that. We strongly disagreed. We've come out and said that, you know, especially you and Sergio, we thought that you guys were, the scoreline didn't reflect it, but you guys were sort of the rock in the middle that were really keeping things together. There's just a lot of breakdown in front of you. Do you guys read any of that stuff that's in the media? Does that affect you at all? Or do you guys just try to tune that sort of stuff out?
I haven't really read too much negativity in the media these days. You know, I'm sure there has been a little bit of criticism of us as a defensive unit. I mean, some might be true, some not. But, you know, when you're not winning, there's always a finger to be pointed. You know, I think we've had some games this year where maybe we haven't won or we drew, where I thought, you know, the defense was superb and we had great games. And maybe we lacked, you know, creating chances and relieving some pressure off of us. But then, you know, also we've had some games where we could have done better. You know, I think we rarely put in a full game this season. And when we have, it, you know, shows up in the wins, the two wins that we have. We're just not being consistent enough as an 11, which needs to come soon.
So you mentioned going maybe on a slightly lighter note. You mentioned before you're only 5'10", but at least in our perspective and in our opinion, you still seem pretty dominant in the air. So I got to ask, what's your secret, and is it your beautiful man bun that gets it done for you?
The man bun definitely helps.
Nice. But,
the man bun definitely helps. It's fine. We got a little secret competition on the team going on with me, Nick, Karsten. You know, so I wouldn't see any of us cutting our hair in the near future. But, I think that's one of my better attributes as a player is winning balls in the air. I've kind of always just had a knack for that. I think a lot of it comes down to timing for me because I'm not the biggest. So getting your position correctly as early as possible and then, you know, jumping before the opposition for me.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It definitely comes through, and it's fun to watch, especially when there are guys who you could tell are substantially taller than you, and then the first ball comes through, and all of a sudden you're up over their shoulders. It's like, wow, check out Willie. But I think that's one of the things that makes you so endearing to so many of the fans is that you're constantly out there putting in the effort, taking on, I don't want to say David versus Goliath because that's not the right analogy, but you're not afraid to go after the big guys, which I think is awesome. I think that's what we
love to see. I think that's something that like we as Pittsburghers can really kind of get behind and love. So that's great to watch.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I think for me, you know, in that position that I'm in as a central defender, you don't have to be willing, especially with my size, to kind of just lay it on the line. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're at the point now where we like to have a little fun with the players. I mean, we've done this with basically everyone that's come on the show where we go into a lightning round where basically we'll ask you a series of A or B questions and we just see how many you can get through in 30 seconds. So your score to beat. Well, let's put it this way. Hunter was the first one on the show, and he got 7. And last week, Nick Thompson was on the show, and he got 11. So you want to beat 7, but if you can beat 11, then you'll be the top point scorer right. here for the team.
You don't want to be last.
It's funny because everybody that comes on are like, man, at least I beat the goalie. So, yeah.
That's right. Beat seven.
Yeah, beat seven. So are you ready for a series of A or B questions here?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, Kev, put 30 seconds on the clock and give us a countdown and we'll get going here.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Derby or Darby?
Derby.
Burger or hot dog?
Burger.
Harrisburg or Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Soccer or football?
Football.
5-4 win or 1-0 win?
1-0 win.
Batman or Superman?
Batman, all day.
Long ball or short pass?
Short pass.
Yellow or blue kits?
Blue kits.
And that was it. He just got it in at the last second.
What do we got?
Eight.
Nice. All right. Well, you beat eight. Hunter, so that's good. You're in good company. You got the same score as Drew Russell and Jack Thompson. So you guys all all did well. So I like the Batman all day comment. Is there a particular reason why Batman all day?
No, just a big fan of all the Batman series and the Dark Knight series. I thought it was really cool how the Dark Knight Rises, how it was shot here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And some of the scenes over there, was that near Pittsburgh University, I think, where the fight scenes were shot?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah, very cool.
That was very, very cool. One last question here. Do you have a European team that you follow? I noticed that you had shared a tweet, I think, about Zlatan going to Man U. Are you a Man U fan?
I am a Man U fan, yes, and that's great news for us. But any team in the Euros, not specific a team. I think I'm a very big fan of the Premier League in general, so I follow a lot of those players. But, you know, even after today, watching Wales, you know, how can you not pull for them? They just had, you know, just great team performances game in and game out. So I'm pulling for them against Portugal, sneak into the finals.
That's awesome.
I have to say, I still have to say Drew Russell's probably my favorite player, Willie. I'm a Liverpool fan, so you've just kind of fallen down. And I know Drew's a Liverpool fan too, so maybe you guys can have a little banter if you didn't know that already.
There's always some banter in the locker room. Everybody's got different teams.
Cool.
I personally don't have an EPL team yet, so I need to be swayed by somebody here to pick one for this upcoming season. If you had a pitch to make for me to support Man U, what's the one or two big things that you should say? Why people should go follow Man U?
I mean, just we got Mourinho and Zlatan. Those two together, I mean, it's going to be a big year in the Premier League in general with Pep Guardiola coming back in as well with the Manchester Derby. It's going to be a big year. I would highly advise you jumping on the Man U for that one.
Nice.
That's awesome. I've always said that I'm a bit more red than blue, so that might be the way that I have to lean. So, so everybody, you know, Willie, thank you again for joining us. It's been great. Everybody, you can go follow Willie on Twitter, at WillieHunt13. Willie, man, thanks again for joining us. Like I said, I know it's been a long time, but we're glad that we finally were able to get you on. Best of luck on Monday and the rest of the season.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. It's been a good time.
We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at Mongols, on Facebook at Mongols, and email us at howl@mongols.com. Any questions, comments, or reactions read on air could win you your own Riverhounds jersey. Thanks!
And we're back. Kev, that was a pretty good interview with Willie, but now we're back. Josh has joined us. Hi, Josh.
Hello, hello.
And we also have Sean McPherson, who's the editor over at Pen97. Sean has covered all the various pro teams in PA, including Harrisburg, so we wanted to make sure we bring him in to provide some insight on the team. Sean, welcome, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So the game that we're talking about here is Monday night, July 4th, 7 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. It's the first of three games against Harrisburg in the Keystone Derby. Let's just get right into it. Sean, you've sort of watched this team a little bit along with some of the other teams in mm-hmm. PA. Give us your thoughts on Harrisburg. What sort of team are they? What are you thinking that we'll see?
I think Harrisburg is the exact kind of team that every soccer fan would hate to have to root for, because they do a fantastic job every single game of giving you hope that this is going to be a game where they're really, everything's going to click, all their pieces are going to come together, they're going to score goals, their defense is going to lock it down, and they're just going to run away with the game, and they'll find these early goals and they'll get your hopes up, and then they just always seem to just let the other team sneak back in, and it's crushing. So it's tough team for supporters.
I'm confused. Are you talking about Harrisburg, or are you talking about the Riverhounds right now?
Yeah. It's funny. Like this season, it's been very similar for both of the teams, and it's been tough for Pennsylvania fans.
So it's probably going to end in a draw, is what you're saying. Yeah. No one's going to get what they want, and it's probably going to end in a draw. Yeah.
In terms of sort of players to watch for, and do they have anybody in particular that you think is going to stand out on Monday? Or players that you think we'll see a decent amount of?
Players you'll see. I think the players that you actually want to watch out for, like the players who could actually do a little bit of damage, would be forward Craig Foster. He's quick. He plays up front. He can kind of disappear for large stretches of the game, but he'll surprise the defense with a quick burst of speed, and he can get around the keeper. In the midfield, they've got Paul Wilson, who's strong, good on the ball. He's got some goals and some good assists. And then old-timey Jose Barril, also on the other side of midfield. He's dangerous, but he gets a little frustrated when the game isn't going well. So if the Riverhounds can find a way to kind of neutralize some of those offensive threats, they stand a good chance, and the defense has been known to give up some real crushing goals.
Harrisburg only sits two spots ahead of us in the standings. They only have 4 wins to our 2 wins, so they're not having a monumental season either.
A question I want to ask and kind of throw out there is, so even, given what you just said, they have played 3 more games than the Riverhounds have. Does anyone think that's going to come into this game at all as far as legs are concerned and one team maybe being a bit fresher than the other?
I wouldn't say going into not this particular game for Harrisburg. I think down the stretch, when they play the Riverhounds the second and third time, I think that's going to more come into play. Harrisburg does a pretty good job of rotating the roster when necessary. So I think at this point they're going to be pretty fresh, but I think down the road that is something that could work in the Riverhounds' favor.
I don't know. I think actually that's a good point towards a favor right now, as well as the fact that if they're only 2 spots ahead of us, and they've had 3 more games than us? Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. We'll take whatever we can get at this point.
We're not doing too bad. Right. Yeah. Silver lining, Josh. That's what we're going to call you.
Yes. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. So it sounds like, not that we're fairly similar, but, Sean, what do you sort of think that we'll throw it to you first. I wanted to get it into sort of a round table, what we expect to see in this game, what we hope to see in this game. So I'm going to throw it to you first. What's something that you think that we'll see?
I think we'll see the City Islanders will do a good job of finding a goal from nowhere early on in the first half. I think the Riverhounds have showed that, they play hard, but they give away those goals. And then it'll really be up to the Riverhounds offense to see if they can, put something together, because the opportunities are going to be there. The City Islanders will give you every chance you need to score a goal. It's just a matter of taking it.
Kev, what do you think in terms of what you're expecting to see here?
I really don't know. I want to see the Riverhounds players react accordingly to the size of this game. The fact that it's a derby, I want to see them treat it like a derby. Of course, you don't want to see red cards flying out everywhere, but I want to see
you like them scrappy, man.
I want to see that's some crunching tackles. I want them to act like they want to win more than anything. And I think one of the things, we've talked, we've interviewed a handful of people now, a handful of players. And the one thing, they're all extremely nice people. And I'm not saying don't be nice people, but I don't know. I'm wondering, does that carry out on the pitch? And everything is kind of too nice. People don't kind of give other players an earful when they should get an earful. When a player isn't doing their job correctly, maybe someone needs to step up and kind of tell them that. Maybe someone needs to, you know, start barking at the player, start barking at the ref, things like that. And I think hopefully a derby can kind of bring that out of people. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, we haven't interviewed Danny Earls yet, so you know that could always play into it as well.
That'd be a fantastic interview. I really want to hear that.
Josh, before I throw it to you, Sean, just to clarify something, is it? I've seen a lot of stuff going around online. Is it Harrisburg City Islanders? Is it City Islanders FC? Is it Harrisburg City Islanders? What's going on there?
Yeah. So the official name of the club, and this I spoke to the club. Their official name is now City Islanders Football Club. That can be abbreviated City Islanders FC, or sometimes they use City FC, just kind of change it up. But they are not technically the Harrisburg City Islanders anymore. And the reason for that is they spend a third of their home games in Lancaster as opposed to Harrisburg. And so they wanted to try and branch out from Harrisburg, so they dropped that from their name and just kind of embraced being City Islanders, whatever that means.
Is there a reason why they've chose to play in Lancaster, or is it just to try to get a bigger audience?
So where they've played in Harrisburg up until this point for their entire existence is called Skyline Sports Complex. And it is, by many accounts, it's the worst playing situation of any USL club. That's why they're not even playing at that field anymore, because it barely meets the minimum requirements for USL. And since USL is pushing for Division II, it's nowhere near that. So they've got a big application going to the state of Pennsylvania for funds to renovate the field. But until that comes through, they're forced to play at a baseball stadium on City Island in Harrisburg and at a baseball stadium in Lancaster.
So City Islanders FC or just City FC. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it makes... Okay, so on that complex, it's on City Island. I mean, that's the whole reason why it's called City Islanders. So even if they drop the Harrisburg off their name, now their main name still doesn't make sense because they're not playing in City Island. So I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a bad situation all around as far as that name goes.
We don't like Harrisburg.
I don't know if you know that, but I'm going to still call them Harrisburg because now I know they don't want to be called Harrisburg.
I mean, like the league still calls them Harrisburg. The league still uses an old logo that the club doesn't use anymore. So there's no consistency here. So if you call them Harrisburg, that's perfectly legitimate because that's what the league still, like in all their write-ups, they still say Harrisburg City Islanders. So it's...
Well, this is interesting because, you know, if they're playing in Harrisburg and they're playing in Lancaster, but they're trying to apply for another location, or did you say renovations in Harrisburg? Like, is there a chance that they won't be in Harrisburg?
That depends on their funding. So if they get that funding, they're going to renovate their field, the soccer field on City Island in Harrisburg. If that funding doesn't come through, then...
They're probably going to have to relocate.
Yeah, I mean, that I don't think the USL is going to let teams just set up camp in baseball stadiums moving forward. So unless another, you know, golden ticket arrives somehow, that's something that the organization is really going to have to address if that funding doesn't come through. And Pennsylvania state funding is, you know, it can't be taken for granted.
Yeah.
So the Derby this year is doubly important because there may not be a team next year in Harrisburg or Lancaster. Although there is Bethlehem, which for whatever reason they weren't included in the Derby this year. Sean's just shaking his head and rolling his eyes.
Yeah, I before the season started, as soon as they announced Bethlehem, I was contacting both the Riverhounds and the City Islanders about including them in the Keystone Derby because, duh. They're in the Keystone State, and every time I contact the clubs, they're like, "Yeah, we haven't talked about it. Yeah, we mentioned it, but yeah, we're not so sure." And then, you know, comes to the beginning of the season, and they just, for largely arbitrary reasons, they just decided not to include Bethlehem, which is silly.
Interesting.
From what I understand, talks were had, but it was less so that they didn't want to, like that. the Riverhounds and Harrisburg didn't want to, but more so that the communication just wasn't there. It seemed like they had their hands full over at Bethlehem setting up the club and trying to get it all figured out, that like they couldn't really even talk to each other. And so communication just kind of broke down. It's like, well, maybe next year.
Yeah, hopefully.
So we sort of got side-railed there. Josh, what would you like to see in this game?
Well, it's a derby. So, I mean, I definitely want to see both teams being passionate. And I, from what we've seen in the past with these guys, that's what we're going to get. I think both teams realize how big of a game it is for each other. Not only because of the fact that it's a derby, but also because their seasons are not going well. So this is kind of like, you know, every point matters at this point. So I do expect it to be passionate. I do expect a lot of goals, too, because that's what happens with Harrisburg. I mean, both teams really start going at each other, and you see a lot of goals. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of the higher-scoring games that we've had all season.
Mm-hmm. As far as, like, expected results, too, I mean, I would very much expect and hope for a win. I know last week I was calling for a draw, like, just – Let's get on a streak here where we're just not losing games. I mean, if you look at Harrisburg's, what, past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games are all losses. And, yeah, not great. I feel like a tie and a derby against a very poorly formed Harrisburg team, it doesn't galvanize us going forward at all. Nope. So I think we really need to push for one, especially being at home. So as far as expectations, what I want to see, you know, it's a win is, you know, a tie is not enough for me in this game. I don't know if that's shared feelings or not.
At this point, no tie is good enough. I mean, every point that we need wins. I mean, so even away games now, I'm just like, if we tie, it's like, ugh, that's bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think we got to come out and we got to play for the W in this one. We're home. It's the first of the derby match, first of the three. So yeah, I think you got to come out and you just got to put some away.
Herzog's 3-3. So
Herzog's 3-3. I think he could pick up a few more in this game. We'll see. Now the big question, Josh. Who's in goal?
You know who I want to be in goal. And it is, I mean, technically on this silly rotation, he is next up. I mean, it seems to be every other game, so it should be Vargas.
I was going to say, so Kevin and I talked about this a little bit when we were driving to get pizza in the last show, which was completely ridiculous. But our thoughts on the rotation and not having a set goalie. You know, Sean, what do you think about having a rotation versus having a set goalie? Do you have any thoughts on that, good or bad?
It's something that Harrisburg has kind of experimented with this year. And I can't fathom a reason from like a chemistry perspective why that would be anything but a terrible idea. Maybe these defenders are really flexible and maybe the communication is similar enough between the goalkeepers that it doesn't make too much of a difference, but that seems like a stretch. It seems like you'd want to have, you know, not a captain, but like, you know, the captain of the defense in the back there barking the same orders every time, communicating, they get comfortable with each other. That just seems like a no-brainer, but I'm not a coach.
Oh, and on top of that, I mean, it would be one thing if they seem like similar keepers, but at least in my opinion, they're very different. I mean, as far as how they like to play, how they like to talk, and things like that. So, I mean, it would make, I think I'd be more okay if the rotation was for tactical reasons rather than let's just rotate to rotate. So if there was something that, you know, Coach Brandt saw that the other team, you know, maybe we need a sweeper keeper this game, fine, let's put in Hunter. You know, now we need a shot stopper, let's put in Vargas. But yeah, I mean, they seem like very different keepers. So the rotation even, I think, makes less sense in the face of that, on top of the whole argument of, you know, it kind of messes up team chemistry.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw another question out there. So the last two games, we've had Willie Hunt out wide. Yeah, that's true. And then two games ago, it was Carson Smith and Sergio Campbell in the middle. And then last game, Campbell was out again, or for whatever reason. I think we had Branson back there. Carson or Campbell didn't even make the lineup.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the Willie Hunt out wide experiment? Do we like it? Do we not like it?
I think it's good, actually. Willie Hunt out wide's fine by me. I feel like the issue was more the fact that we had Campbell out. That he's been pretty solid in the back, and not having him there at that game wasn't good. Again,
I mean, we mentioned, I think it was like two or three episodes ago, where we talked about depth on defense. And Kev, I think you called it, where you're like, if Campbell's out, like, we're hosed. And then the very next game, it was, well, here's Branson and Smith. And you could see there were some breakdowns in the last game.
I mean, it's I actually think Hunt did a really good job at right back. It's just, you know, yeah, we talked about the kind of depth at center back. I'm just not convinced by either Smith or Branson. So even if you put Hunt out wide, and if we keep Campbell in the middle, that's still putting Branson or Smith in the middle. Maybe Smith can grow in his role, but I think he looks a little shaky, especially when he's on the ball and his positioning's a bit off. I think he's great in the air. But yeah. So I mean, it purely because of our depth at center back, I'd like to see Willie stay at center back. And plus, I think we have, you know, Russell, who's playing really well at right back. I'd be happy to see him there.
Yeah, I agree. And something just struck me, Josh, I think that may be in your favor. The Hounds released a picture of three different t-shirts that that you can pick up at the team store this weekend. One featuring Kevin Kerr, one featuring Corey Herzog, and one featuring Mauricio Vargas. So it'd be kind of weird if they're selling those t-shirts for one day only and Mo isn't in goal. So hopefully that's a sign that he's got the starting nod.
I hope so. I hope so. I really do. And can I mention one other thing real fast? I just remembered you guys last episode were talking about competition at goal might be helping, you know, who's going to start. But if it's actually a rotation where it's every other, there is no competition because you know, like, oh, well, it's his turn, so this is my off week. I don't try as hard at practice. Maybe I don't, you know, show up as well because you know you're not going to be in. So I feel like having a rotation is even worse because not only are you not, you know, competing for that spot, but you have time to get lazy and be like, oh, off week.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So I think, you know, we talked a little bit about the goalies. We talked a little bit about defense. I think up top, it's pretty clear that it's going to be Herzog and maybe somebody else. I think the midfield is just a jumbled mess where it could be really anybody. You know, hopefully we'll see Danny Earls in there again, sort of growing into form.
Well, I actually think, you know, that brings up an interesting question. I mean, it's so you say it could be anyone, and I agree, but do you want to see a more consistent midfield of players that have been here all season, or do you want to see us start betting in these new signings like Nick Thompson, like Jack Thompson? Like, I mean, Danny Earls isn't really a new signing, but he is. And so I don't know, what would you guys like to see as far as, you know, these new signings being injected in, or these kind of more, I don't want to call them season, but the players that have been around since the beginning of the season and maybe have a more consistent run in the lineup?
I mean, I think it's, at least for me, it's pretty tough because it seems like I said in the last game that I started to see moments from Eloto that I thought he was starting to round into form, but then he got taken off in the 63rd minute or something like that. And all of that just sort of went away. So we were in a position earlier in the season where I felt like there was a consistent three or four guys that you knew were always going to be in the lineup. And now that we've brought in Earls and then we brought in the Thompson brothers, and I honestly just don't know anymore. Like, I think Kevin Kerr is going to be in.
Definitely.
And beyond that,
I was going to say, it feels like Kerr and Maloto are two names that consistently just stay in my head. Now, I don't know if you would classify Maloto as a midfielder or an attacking, quote-unquote, player. But really, like, in my mind, those are the only two names that I would be okay, yeah. Like, these two names, if you leave the defense out, are one of the first two names in the team sheet. Everything else kind of gets filled in around there. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's fair or not. I thought Jack put in some pretty good performances. I mean, you still have questions of, is Hollingsworth playing at left back? Is he at left mid? What kind of formation do you want to play? So, yeah, I don't know how this all kind of shakes out.
Let's do this. Let's go around the horn and say, if you had to pick four midfielders to start in this game, who those four midfielders would be. So, Josh, I'm going to throw it to you first just because you're furthest left on my little head.
Okay. I feel like Earls should be getting time in because I feel like he can really bring things together. Kerr, you know how I feel about Kerr. And then after that, I mean, are we considering Melotto? Can he be considered? Okay, so Melotto, and that's all I got. After that, it's like, well, all right. Like,
see, I feel really bad about this because someone who we've talked about before, Mike Green, I felt like stepped into the defensive midfielder position and did a fairly decent job. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Danny Earls comes in and everyone's just like, well, it's Danny Earls. And I don't disagree with that, but it's kind of like, kind of feel bad for Mike Green because now he's just bumped off the list. And it's like, well, Earls is here. You know, sorry, go take a seat.
Well, you want depth. That's how you get depth. I mean,
it's competition at each position.
You want someone good or, you know, is good on the bench because then when they come in, they make a difference. So,
Josh, you gave us 3 out of 4. I'll
Jack take Thompson. 3 out of 4. Does that work?
Jack Thompson, that's good. Okay. Yeah, there's your fourth. That's
there we
good. Go. Sean, what do you think?
I think what I would do is I would take the four players, you know, 3 or 4 players, whatever formation they feel like rolling out this week, with the best chemistry and put them in. And I say that particularly because I know they're playing Harrisburg, and Harrisburg has been really weak against teams that play strong possession through the midfield. So at this point, I don't think you don't need necessarily like the, you know, your absolute best players. It's the players that play the best together, and they're going to be able to just sit in that midfield, and that's how Harrisburg leaks goals. So, I mean, I don't know which, you know, 3 or 4 have the best chemistry together. If bringing in Earls, you know, mid-season is going to, you know, be able to click with the rest of the guys. But if they can lock down that midfield, that's how they're going to beat Harrisburg. That's how they're going to get their goals going, and they're going to run away at the game.
So Harrisburg gives up most of their goals through basically just possession up the field. They're less counterattack type goal situation.
that's basically what happens. Like last week when they played Charlotte. Charlotte, I mean, they're a good team. I don't want to take anything away from Charlotte. But there were times where the Charlotte players would just, like, run casually through the midfield, almost completely uncontested. And they'd get shots away. And, I mean, they weren't great shots, but they were challenging the keeper, and it's just a matter of time until one gets through. So if Harrisburg can kind of recreate a similar situation where they're strong in the midfield and they get the ball moving through and they just test the keeper, it's going to work for them. It's worked for every other team this year. It's going to work.
So it could be a big Kevin Kerr day.
All right.
Speaking of Kevin, arrows. Kevin, what do you think about the midfield?
I mean, as everyone's going through their responses, I'm thinking in the back of my head, fine. Okay, so if we're going to pick four, let's just say for our hypothetical question that it's a, you know, flat 4-4-2 or something like that, midfield four, fine. And then so I start, okay, well, do we do like a pure like four midfielders, or do you do like a 2 midfield, 2 wingers and try to get pace on the outside? I actually think both Kerr and Melotto do really well almost on the sides of the pitch when they kind of have a bit less responsibility to be a foothold in the middle of the field, and they have more freedom to kind of float around, pick up space, and find those passes and find the shots. And especially from Sean's response of maybe, you know, if we can have a more consistent threat through our midfield rather than a counter-attacking style in which you would want more kind of pacey wingers, I would be happy putting both Kerr and Melotto out wide. And then, I mean, see, that's the thing, though. I haven't really been entirely impressed with Green or Okai throughout this entire season. This could be... I mean, I'm tempted to say Earls and Nick Thompson in the middle of the pitch, but at the same time, those aren't necessarily, I would call them, creative midfielders. So I would kind of want that in this situation. I don't know. I mean, so on one hand, yeah, I'd say like Kerr, Earls, Nick Thompson, and Melotto. On another one, I could equally say like Jack Thompson out left, Kerr and Melotto in the middle, and I don't know, maybe Boggs out on the right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it shakes out. I mean, I like it, but from Sean's response, you know, maybe we want Maybe we want Kerr and Maloto, our most creative players, in the middle of the pitch and kind of have everything go through them. In that case, maybe that'll work out better.
And it also helps that they played together so much, and they like getting the veterans who've been playing the most time together through the years together, like you, Sean was saying about having the chemistry. I mean, these guys have played together for years, so that helps too.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Kev, as you were saying, you know, sort of getting Kerr and Maloto out wide, that was my first thought was, well, okay, now you've just sort of negated that middle of the field that Sean said was so important. So, yeah, I don't know how I would go in this.
So I'm wrong, is what you're saying.
No, I didn't say you're wrong. I'm just...
You're saying you're not right.
I'm just imagining that if they're out wide, then what you're going to end up having is Herzog dropping back more to try to get the ball further back down the field and work the ball out wide. And so we could end up with a lot of crosses through the middle. But, I don't know. I would almost like to see us, if we're going to do sort of a 4-4-2, almost play the 4-4-2 diamond, if we're trying to get more chances in the middle, in which case I would see like an Earls. Maybe you put Maloto at the tip of the diamond and then the two on the sides, like a Kerr and a Jack Thompson, maybe. I feel like there's another player that they've just been adding players left and right. I feel like there's somebody that should be on my radar that I've completely forgot about that was getting time there, and now it's escaped me. So I need to go back and look at things. But all right, well, let's do this. We've talked about this game a decent amount. Let's jump into actual predictions here. Sean, you're the guest here, so we'll kick it off with you. How do you think this game plays out score wise?
I think my prediction is the City Islanders are going to get one early because they like to do that. They like to, kind of tease you a little bit with a hope, and then they're going to give one back towards the end of the first half. We're going to go into the half 1-1. Harrisburg is going to find a goal to go up 2-1, and then Pittsburgh are going to score two very late, probably stoppage time, and just crush every City Islanders fan again.
Mike, I don't know if I could do that detailed of a prediction.
Yeah. I'm feeling it. Like, you know, like sometimes, like when you just know something bad's gonna happen. This is it. It's gonna be Monday night.
So Sean says 3-2, right? Yeah, 3-2.
3-2.
No, 4-2, isn't it?
If it's 3-2.
Okay, 3-2. Okay, yeah.
3-2. Josh.
I mean, I want to say it's actually going to be. I said high scoring, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 4-2.
4-2 Harrisburg. Wow.
Hey, whoa, hey. No. Pounds.
Josh, how many goals does your boy Kevin Kerr get?
Kerr? Probably just one.
I think you're going to say, like, four.
Probably four. Maybe five.
Yeah, but the final score is 4-2. Kevin Kerr gets five.
Yeah,
goals.
Exactly.
He's that good. Kev?
I can tell you it's not – I don't know. I don't see tons of goals in this. I think part of me just intrinsically wants the Riverhounds to win, and I don't see the Riverhounds getting a lot of goals, hence, I think, low-scoring game. So I don't know. I could see Herzog getting another one. He's in form. 4-4 would be a great thing to accomplish. And then I'm struggling again. We haven't been great off of set pieces. We haven't been great off of corners. So even though I keep anticipating a Hunt or a Campbell corner headed in goal, we haven't seen it much. I don't know if Moloto's really coming back in or if this is a bit of a bust kind of thing. I don't necessarily see us getting a clean sheet either. So I'm going to say 2-1 in the Riverhounds.
Have the Riverhounds had a clean sheet this season?
No.
I don't think so, no.
No.
Isn't that
no
sad?
Clean sheets yet.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, all right, so I guess, oh man,
what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I'm torn because I somewhat agree with you, Kev. We're getting in situations where we're getting chances. The chances have never been the issue so far this season. Well, I shouldn't say that. Chances were an issue earlier on this season, but we've started to get more chances. We just can't put them away. So do I think that all, you know, all because it's a derby match that we're going to throw a switch and start to be able to bury our chances? I'd like to see that. But then again, I don't see us scoring, you know, more than three goals. Like if we get three goals, it's going to be like, what? Like, where did this come from? Because have we gotten three goals yet this season?
No.
I don't even know.
I'm looking back at all the scouting stuff now. No, we've
so the most we've got is two.
Yeah.
So I think if we get three goals and we draw or lose, I'm going to be pretty upset. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe I'll split the difference here and I'll say 3-1. And we'll sort of see what happens. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, John, you've obviously seen more of Harrisburg than we have, mm-hmm. but if it plays out in that way where they come out and score first, what the mentality of the team is in order to come back. Because I think we started to see a little bit of that fight, mm-hmm. Some of that tenacity where we went down in the last few games and we've been able to come back and score. So, yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. Well, I guess to bring a little history here, last season in the Keystone Derby Cup, the average goals per game was 7. So if they can take any of that fire from last season and bring that to this year, I mean, both of these teams like desperately need a shock. Just like they need something to just kind of get their system moving, and I think this game has all the makings of that. It's an opportunity for both teams to make this a statement win to help carry them into the hopefully into the playoffs. I mean, we'll see. If you try and get a team from Pennsylvania in the playoffs, that'd be kind of cool.
Well, and that's not Bethlehem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Following up with that though, Sean. So I'm curious. Yeah, who do you think has the better ingredients to kind of make a somewhat legitimate push into the playoffs? Or we can even simplify this further and say, you know, who's going to finish above the other one in the table mm-hmm. right now? In your opinion,
I think Coach Brandt is kind of an unknown so far. I mean, he's been here for a little while. He's kind of still testing the waters. Coach Becker at the City Islanders he's very simple. Like tactically, it's very simple, and I think his effectiveness probably peaked like two seasons ago when they had that great push and they made it to the USL finals. And it
didn't. How long has he been the head coach for Harrisburg?
Forever, for as long as they've been around.
I wonder if that starts playing on them. I mean, because, you know, as players, you wonder if you can only hear the same thing from the same manager so often before it starts kind of losing its magic. I wonder. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, in terms of, like, this season playing for the playoffs, I don't see Harrisburg turning it around. They're just not that – they're not creative enough. Like, they're a gutsy team. They can work hard. But I just don't see them pulling it out. And the Harrisburg – sorry, the Hounds – not Harrisburg. The Hounds.
Yeah, remember,
like,
where you're at, Sean.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh team. They've got the talent, and they've got a coach who's at least got something new. He brings something new to the table, something new to the league. And you know, I'd say they have a better chance. But right now, it doesn't look good for either of these teams.
Well, regardless, let's hope that, you know, this turns out to be a great night. You know, there's going to be free T-shirts, buy one, get one lottery tickets. After the game, you can stick around and watch the city fireworks that are going to go off at the point. You can actually watch it from the field. You can stay in your seats, but you can actually go out on the turf and hang out and watch the fireworks, which will be awesome. You'll have pretty much the best seats in the city to see the fireworks. So, you know, get down to the game. I'm sure it's going to be packed. There were all sorts of notices about, you know, potentially being sold out. So there may not be tickets at the gate.
It usually is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a great night. The game will be on Monday night, which means that rather than our next show being Sunday night, we're going to wait and just do another one on Wednesday when we'll recap Harrisburg and we'll preview our next game against Bethlehem Steel. Otherwise I think that's pretty much it for this game. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about?
I just wanted to mention this real quick. So, last four games, did you guys see what the scores were against Harrisburg?
No.
5-2, 6-5, 4-3, and then 1-2.
So, right? That's what we're doing. Is that
the trend? He's going to go down and down. Oh.
Yeah. On that. I just want to say real quick that every interaction I've had with the City Islanders front office, they've tried to express to me their commitment to staying in Pennsylvania. So I know it gets a little difficult, especially when you talk about the stadium situation. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem positive, but they're a group of really committed people. They've done a lot to keep a franchise in a smaller market. And I have full faith that they're going to find a way to keep a USL club somewhere in central Pennsylvania. It might not be Harrisburg. It might be Lancaster. It might be York or something like that. But I don't think the City Islanders are going anywhere, you know, outside of like an hour drive. So I think the Riverhounds can look forward to having that state rival for the future to come.
Yeah. And that's yeah. Awesome because, I mean, let's face it, we're all sort of in this together. So as much as we may hate Harrisburg and the fact that they're a Derby team, you don't want to see a small market team, you know, just vanish for the fans, for the team, for whatever. So as much as we're pulling to beat them, you know, this week and every time we play them, you also don't want to see a team go under.
Yeah.
I love to hate them. I don't want them to go.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Cleveland. What would we do if Cleveland just disappeared? Like, it's, we have to find a new city.
Yeah.
So, all right. On that note, thank you, you know, Josh, Kevin, Sean. We appreciate you guys stopping by. Thanks to Willie, who we talked to earlier, for stopping by to talk to us. Hounds, good luck this weekend. Go out there, you know, try to get the 7 average by making it a 7-0 game. That would be fantastic. Otherwise, we'll catch up with you guys later next week where we'll talk about this game and we'll preview the next upcoming game. So we will talk to you very, very soon.
Later.